Okay, I'm just testing for sound now. Okay, I'm going to stop it. John Falconer III, known as Jack, at his home on Scoville Ormine Road in Salisbury on the 7th of July, 1986. Jack, how far back can you go with the Scoville family?
Well, the first Scovilles that I know for sure that were born here were in 1782 on the Scoville farm on the Undermountain Road, which is 4.5 miles from Salisbury. My grandmother was born there, and her father was born. My mother came from Morristown, New Jersey, and was born in Mount Holly, New Jersey. My dad was born on the shore, and I will give Jody the information later on. The property had been in the family, to the best of my knowledge, from at least 1782 until we sold out in 1950. Now,
what are the names in the Scoville family that you remember? Who was married to whom?
Well, it was Herb Scoville, Rob Scoville, Molly Scoville, Edith and Grace Scoville, and Lois Scoville.
Did they all marry?
Not Edie and Grace. Lois married Donald Warner, and Molly married Mr. McChesney.
John McChesney.
John McChesney.
Okay. Who did the men marry?
Herb married Orlena Zabriskie, and Rob married, I will have to think of it later.
Is, when you say Herb, is that Pete?
Pete. No. Oh. No, that's his father.
Oh.
And Herb was Pete. They were both Herbert.
Okay.
And then our young Herb, Pete, who just passed away here a month ago, had a sister by the name of Elvia.
She is an Elvia Ferruski.
Absolutely. And
so she was Elvia Scoville.
She was Elvia Scoville. And she had a daughter, Ollie Ferruski.
Who's now Tembi Argo's wife.
That is correct. Was she actually Ollie, she was married Jack Janu.
Janu, right.
And then Argo.
And she has two children.
She has two children, Sam and Elvia.
Now, your grandmother was who? Which Scoville?
She was Caroline Scoville. C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E.
Now, who were her brothers and sisters? They would be your aunts and uncles.
My great aunts and uncles.
Okay, all right.
I'll have to get that and make a list down and
right.
Get it to you
okay.
later.
All right.
That's okay to do this?
Oh, question? Sure, it's fine. What about the Fishers?
He came from down on the shore,
yeah.
As I said,
yeah.
Down on the sound.
Mm-hmm.
That was my grandfather, which came from the sound. And he was born in 1812. Mm-hmm. And my dad was born in 1873.
Where?
In Salisbury. To the best of my knowledge. Mm.
Do you know where the house was?
Oh, yes, it's the Undermountain Inn now.
And that's where you...
That's all the Scoville house. That's where everything started in 17, as I said, 82. But I think the original house burned down in 1943, or maybe it was 44, because when my mother went to sleep one night, it was there, and when she woke up in the morning, it was gone. My sister was there at the same time.
And you were born in that house?
No, I was born. My mother was a nurse, and I was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
But moved right up here.
We lived here.
Yeah.
Every winter we went away on account of the cold, but due to the family being from South Jersey, yeah. her family, yeah. they retreated that far south. Sometimes as far as Florida.
I take it you mean the house was not heated.
Oh, yes, it was heated.
But you just got out because it was
heated. Oh, my heavens. It would burn over a ton a week.
Ton of what?
Coal.
Coal.
My dad was a steam buff from trains, and it was heated by steam, but to heat that whole house, and it's lined with brick. It isn't insulated. That house is lined with brick.
What about your schooling? If you went away every winter, well, where did you go to school?
That was a cause of trouble. Wherever we went that winter, I started at a school called Miss Stewart's in Lakeville. I'm trying to think how to explain. It's near Meadow Street, mm-hmm. on 41. And I went there with the Rands and the Ben Belcher and the Bordens and Charlotte Reed. Charlotte Hall.
This was when you were very young. This is like
starting at
first grade kind of thing.
Right. And then I would go there until about November. And then when the cold started to come in, away we'd go to wherever we were going that winter. And then we'd come back in April, and I had the pleasure of finding out what in the devil they were doing at Miss Stewart's, because it was entirely different than what they were doing in the winter. That was my school. Then I went to, I went to St. Andrews in Middletown, Delaware. And that was the first year it opened. And then after that, that was in 32. And then I went to flying school at Ryan in San Diego, California.
Tell me about this area. What about the Scoville mining interests?
The Scovilles had two mines that I know of. Now, the one in back of the house on their property, well, I'm talking now about the Under Mountain Inn now. In back of that, there's a pit about, I show you the pictures. That's 90 feet deep, and then it goes back to the face. They have little railroads going on. They had that, and I know that produced up to about the turn of the century. Which one way, I don't know. My dad never told me, but we do have the pictures of it working. This mine, I don't know when it worked.
This mine, you mean right here?
The one here on this property. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I keep running ahead.
It's all right.
That has shafts leading off underground, and some of them, which I'd like to show you later, have caved in, and they make big sinkholes. They look like test holes. Remember I mentioned
yes.
the test hole? Up here, they're not. What's happened, the roof has caved in. And George Bushnell, who lived on the next farm here, George had been in those when he was a kid. He's now the second selectman, or the selectman. And as I say, I don't know when that was last worked. But I have a map of 1863, and the mine, I think it stopped working, I believe.
Can you still see it?
Oh, my heavens. It's a deep, deep pit. It's well, again, I'll show it to you.
Dangerous.
No. Oh, if you fell off over the side, no. You could, there are enough trees there to save you.
What about what I always have heard called Fisher's Pond?
My dad...
Was that always a pond?
A beaver had pond there, I imagine, for... many, many hundreds of years before the white man came. And it was called Beaver Dam Road. And my dad put a dam in there, I believe it was 1903 or 4. Again, I have to check with my sister on this. I'm going to get a list of all this stuff. And the size of the pond is 49 acres and a half about, and And the land surrounding it is about 49 acres and a half.
How about the island in the middle?
I think they count that as land.
Was that the hill?
That was a hill.
Yeah. How deep is it?
In the one spot I know I can get about 25 feet deep, that's where there's spring. Maybe it's deeper. My dad said it was deeper than that, but most of the lake's about 5-6 feet deep. And it's, of course, excellent fishing for bass and pickerel.
But who owns it now? Is the Under Mountain Inn?
No, that's owned by Marilyn Street. Mrs. Glum?
I think it's Gummer.
Gummer, right. You're correct.
So that went with the house. The pond goes with their house.
No. The old farmhouse is the inn.
Yeah.
Oh, no, many people own the old farm. We own 660 acres from the Beaver Dam Road on both sides of the road. On the left, going north, it would be well up on the mountain somewhere. I never did know where we owned there. And that went on for over a mile. It went up nearly to Sage's Ravine. On the right, we owned to Hammertown Road, which is on the right, you follow?
Mm-hmm.
And then we owned to the middle of Hammertown Pond. And then we owned from there up to, as you go south on now, from that pond, you go south a line and hit the road from the Under Mountain into Taconic at a point just before Sarum T. That was our property. And then all the lake.
You did a lot of farming?
It had been a farm, and then, of course, the prices went down. I know my dad got out of, they had a head farmer and another fellow, and when it had to be delivered every day to Taconic, and went down to New York by train, and he got 3.5 cents a quart and quit. He ran air shears. We had about 70 head, but it just didn't pay. And of course, a lot of the other farms folded right about that time, one right after another.
You and your sister inherited the farmhouse.
Yes, my mother lived until 49, at which point we had the house, and the main house, and two farmhouses and a cabin. And we sold the farm to Lucy Drummond. I sold the lake to a Venezuelan airline president. I might say we sold for $25,000, and they just sold it for $1,800,000 to Maryland Street. Of course, it did have a $275,000 house. Then other pieces of property south of the house on the Under Mountain Road were small, sold in smaller lots.
Do you own it? Was this part of it?
This had nothing to do with it. This was 272 acres that was owned by, right after the war, George Kiefer came back and acquired part ownership of this piece of property, which comprised of 272 acres. But he owned only 3/4 of every stick, stone, tree, and everything else in this property. And 11 ex-Scovilles, who were my grandmother's brothers, sisters, my grandmother's sisters, they, of course, married and had children. And we broke down all their children by stirpes, I believe it is. And the smallest part was a 480th. That some person owned of this property. And then what I did, I had to get a quick claim deed for all the property, and eventually, after 8 years, I got it. But in the prior to that, I had to buy out about 8 cousins, because there only could be 6 lots on a private road in the town of Salisbury. 2 of the ex-Scovilles still are own property here. 1 is Herbert Scovil, deceased, whose daughter, Molly, inherited, she owns 25 acres. And then 10 acres belongs to a family by the name of Pascal, who invented Air Wick. He's 86 years old and lives in Florida. He has a son who's a successful lawyer in New York, and he had a daughter that went to Hotchkiss. I just found this out about a year ago. Very pretty girl.
Noni Pascal.
Yeah, that's it.
Beautiful girl.
I haven't seen her. I'd love to. She's a cousin of mine, of course. I haven't seen her. And she, I believe, has inherited the property, which is 10 acres, and it's up on the hill with a view, as I said, towards Sharon, most likely from nearly to the Sharon line, and then on up to Sheffield, on over to Cayman. And then I sold the other part of the land. It only could be 6 lots on a private road. You could build any number of houses on the lot, but it only, the lot has to be owned by one or a group of people. It cannot ever be sold or broken up. And I sold the set of 60 acres up here to a doctor, Donald Janelle, and his son Chris, and his other son, who is Dr. Bruce Ginelli. They have 2 houses up here, which they brought from down near the shore and took apart completely, both of them, and brought them up here and assembled them. It took a couple years. And they live up there. That's all I can say about the property that I can think of right now.
Another thing we'd love to know about is early days of skiing when you were kids.
Oh, well, I was interested in skiing, as I have a picture right there I'll show you, in about 1925, but I had no more idea what I was doing, the man on the moon. And a few of us skied, but most of the boys played hockey, shinny it should be done, Pop Rudd, he was good. Played for Yale. Then the Satra family moved in, from all Norwegians, 4 brothers, and then a couple of other Norwegians moved in, and Ole Zetterström, who was Swedish, he came quite a bit later, but the Satras and Donald Warner built the ski jump, and the first ski jump was, to the best of my knowledge, was 1928, and it originated on Don Warner's cabin roof. Went down the cabin roof, down a steep hill, little hill, and they jumped. And then they had to stop very, very quickly, otherwise they went in Waco past and up Brook.
Where was Don Warner's cabin?
Fallkill, do you know where that
is? No.
Fallkill is the old Bushnell Tavern.
Oh.
It was towards Lakeville from that. And they only had to jump there 1 year, and I guess on account of the brook, they moved it down to where it is to this day. And they called it Satra Hill. And Don financed the whole thing. And in 1930, I'd say around 1930, maybe it was 32, it could be looked up. They had the first, I think it was the Eastern here, or maybe it was a National, but I think it was the Eastern jump, and they brought trains in from New York, and with all the press, and Don financed that. Oh, and then they had terrible time that year, winter with snow. They had to go get the snow up on the lakes at Mount Ragged, with trucks and teams, and they brought it down and put it on the jump all by hand. I mean, this is a monstrous amount of work. They had no blowers or anything like that. And he pulled it off successfully. Then they had a mob. They had a lot of people. And then the jump has gone on ever since. Nearly yearly, missed a few times.
The Don Warner you talk about, is that our current Don Warner
or
his father?
No, it's his father. And she was the one that was married to Lois Scovel. And he was the one that really got skiing started around here. And then after that, I got into downhill. And in 1939, I started Catamount. And incorporated that in 1940. And stayed in it until 1971. In 1947, with John Clark from Lakeville, John Wolf Clark, and John Drummond, I started Catamount. I formed a corporation, named it Jiminy Peak, and raised the money. And I also got Pete and Don Miller of the Pittsfield Eagle, and they came in as another fourth partner, sharing. And that was the first lift at Jiminy, which is now a very good skier. And I sold that out. I'd again have to go back and check. I had to commute between both of them every day. It was about 40 miles. It became too much.
You were telling me the other day about, your mother going up to Riga?
Oh, no, that was not my mother. That was my grandmother's sister, Angie Pelton, who owned Pelton Brook in Great Barrington, where Taft Farm is now, and where a boys' school, I think, for, backward, perhaps. I don't know the term they use now. Children, and that was their estate. But they used to go to Mount Riga to buy the finer merchandise when she was a little girl. And she's buried in the cemetery in Great Barrington under the name Angelina Pelton.
What about that trip to New York you told me about? And you get up at what?
Oh,
who
she
was
did.
The chauffeur?
The chauffeur, for again, this was Angelina Pelton, my grandmother's sister. She used to stay with us until 1920, maybe a little later, in the summer. And she had an apartment on Fifth Avenue, which was fashionable at that time. But when they left the city, they'd leave at dawn or close to it, and drive all day and picnic around Brewster. It was all dirt roads. And get up here with a big old locomobile, limousine, which again I have pictures of somewhere here. And it was an expedition because it was all tar roads.
And Under Mountain Road had grass in it.
Oh, good heavens, yes. Under Mountain Road was put in 1928, and I think the moving light behind that was Mortimer Bell, who was Speaker of the House in Connecticut, and they put the road in from Salisbury to Canaan, and the road from Salisbury to the Under Mountain Road the same year.
When you say put in, you mean paved?
It's paved with the cement. And that's, and since, of course, it's been macadam and changed many times. It was in 28 they put it in.
You want to start talking about this?
I'll
read you the names.
Yeah, so then I'll just tell you who.
Yeah, this is a bill of sale dated 1832 in Salisbury. And it says, essentially, know you that we, John M. Holly and John C. Coffin. Now, who are they?
John Holly, I assume, is one of the Holly of the Holland Manufacturing Companies, which manufactured knives in the town of Lakeville. And Coffin lived across the street from Judge Warner on what is now Route 41, and is owned, that house of Judge Warner's is owned by a Mr. Buckley, and they have antiques. I believe the coffins were related to the coffins of Nantucket.
Well, this is, the sale is $2,500 to the satisfaction of Samuel C. Scovel.
Samuel Church, that is.
Okay. And it's the land they give how it's measured. They talk about a heap of stones on a rock at the foot of the mountain, and lately owned by Milo Lee.
Well, the Lees owned the Lee farm across from the old Ball estate, which this map shows here. And they own the farm across the road from it. They might have also owned the whole Ball estate. I don't know, but that could be looked up.
Here's the next one. And moving, they're measuring by chains and links.
Length.
Three chains and 77 links. Well, how long do you think a chain was?
I don't know, but that could be easily found out. I've seen them. The chain's about this long.
Which is 2 feet?
No, I don't think that. It's close to a foot, I think.
And...
Although, those are links. Those are the links, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the links, yeah. How long do you think a chain is?
I don't know.
Yeah. And then there's Elisha Lee's corner, so that's still the same land. And Knowles.
Knowles, I don't know, but one of the Lees went with Benjamin Franklin to either Paris or London on a peace mission. Of course, and I don't know the dates. We can say we can look that up. My mother told me that, and my great aunt told me that.
I'm just looking. I think that's it on it. How about Landon?
Horace Landon, I assume, again, was related to, later on, judge in the town of Salisbury by the name of Horace Landon. And he had a son, I think his name was Bob Landon, that won the high jump in about 1932 in the Olympics.
Could that be the Landon of Landon? They call a house that Hotchkiss owns Landon House on the road from the Hotchkiss
sure.
Four Corners going toward Lime Rock. It's on the left. Beautiful white house.
It could have been named for mostly the same family. Another Landon, and I think it might have been the same family. They raise Holsteins on the road to Sharon. You go past the transfer station, up the hill. On the top of the hill is a large white house.
Torrey Hill Farm.
That was a Landon farm.
Okay. Now, where are those pictures with the raggy people?
Oh, a rag, of course, as you know.
Yes.
Comes from just, oh, I don't know. These were just guys. These were some of the kids, they aren't kids, but they're mostly in their 30s and 40s, and even that they were all lift operators. They kept rope toe operators.
What were their names?
Are we on recording?
Yes.
This is Stubb Sherwood, the son or the father of the current Stubb Sherwood and Roy Sherwood. This is Jesse Morin, who's a very good woodsman. This is Pete Lorenzo, a contractor. This is Jack Flynn, an electrician and a very good one. This is Buck Whalen, the Lakeville post office, and he's been dead about 2 years. This is Roy Bushnell, who owned the Bushnell farm adjacent to this piece of property. I'm referring to the property on Scovel or Mine Road. This is this is Ed Ball. This is his brother. Or it's the other way around, I'm not sure. They look very much alike. This is Vincent Beale, who was a well driller. This is Stubb McClenn, who worked at Catamount for many years and worked around town. This is a McClenn, his first name evades me right now. This is Stubb Bennett, an ex-fireman on the Harlem Division of the New York Central. And this is Glenn Curtis, who was the son of a carpenter who lived in to Connick, and his mother worked for the Scovels in the house. Now I can get most of these, I think. This is Jack Bell.
Now these are not workers there. These
were ski patrol.
Ski patrol, okay.
And ski shop. This is Mrs. Charlie. She ran the shop. This is Jack Bell. That's an army uniform, a coat that the ski troops used in World War II. This is Gertrude Drummond, our nurse. Oh boy, this guy comes from Chappaqua. I can't remember his name. This guy comes from Mount Kisco, and this is his brother. Oh, this is, I can't remember his name. This is Otar Satra.
He's what? The son of the originals?
No, he was one of the originals.
He was, oh, okay.
And his son was Paul Satra, who now teaches at the Thatcher School in the Ojai Valley. This is Bob Kenny, who his father was groundskeeper for Don Warner. This is Jack Hawley, who was down at community service. This is Walter Fannin, who used to live in Lakeville and lived at Canton when this was taken. This is myself. And this is Jim Smith, who drove for Mr. McChesney. And he also, at that time, was on the ski patrol, and you can't see it here, but somebody snapped a ski tow rope and knocked off out his two front teeth, and that was the time that the song was popular, All I Want for Christmas, My Two Front Teeth. And this is Bill Hill, who at that time was going to medical school at Johns Hopkins. And this is Darwin.
Darwin Miller?
No. His last name is Darwin. He lived next to Harrison's house in Lakeville. Harriet Harrison's house, if you came down from the schools, went across the road. Harriet's house is the first house on the left. The next house there was Mr. Darwin, and this boy's father taught banjo. He taught me, but not successfully. That takes care of all of them. Yeah. Can you turn it off for a second?
Sure. Say it again.
This Daniel, is that Brandt? No, it isn't. Ryan.
Bryant, but it's...
Bryant. No, I don't know him. So you put it. Here's an old family. Abraham Vosburg. Mr. Vosburg was a teller at the bank when I was a boy in the 20s and 30s. Here's Ball, Elijah Ball. Dr. Elijah Ball. I assume, and only assume, that he's related to the Balls on the Under Mountain Road. Here is a Louise Ball.
Explain what you're looking at.
Oh, this is a book of, what you call it, a Bill's Ode to Samuel Church Scovel. I'm not sure. It's owned to two of them. The two different Scovels were in it. I would have to really sit down and study it, and I just started to look at it the other day with you. The Bartletts, this is Isaac Bartlett, Dr. Isaac Bartlett. That's an old family name. Samuel. I can't read it. Is that Peter? Livingston.
Power?
I can't make it out.
It's P-O-N. Connor.
Is His writing is so good I can't read it.
The Livingstons, I was told, once owned all the way to Sharon from the Hudson River.
The Livingstons had a large, they were in New York State too, very large, Livingston Manor. And then Livingston Lansing, who lived up on Selleck Hill at what is now Don Hewitt's house, he was related to them. And his sister was Mary Lansing, who was a famous beauty, and married Arnold Peters, who was a very well-known artist of caricatures, and he did a lot of work for Life magazine.
And the New Yorker.
And
was he
the
a
New
cartoonist?
York, that's the one, yeah. His name was, he changed it. His name was actually Arnold Peters.
He went to Hotchkiss.
Yes, he did.
Right? Yeah.
That is correct.
He switched his name around.
That is right.
Yeah.
I'll just pick names out of this thing. The Chapins, or the town of Taconic, used to be Chapinville.
You told me something the other day, which that brings up about
the reason,
why the name
one
changed.
One of the reasons, there was a Tariffville, there was a Lakeville, there was a Chapinville, and there were some other villes on the Connecticut Western when they put it in, and about the time it became the Central New England Railroad, the confusion in the number of trains and the number of bills that went over the telegraph, they decided to change it to Taconic. My dad didn't like it.
I want to add two things. Jack's birthday, he was born March 21st, 1914. And when he's talking about the artist Arnold Peters, the man changed his name to Peter Arno. This is continued on the next side.